Amen. All right. Well, guys, we're going to be continuing here in our series on the Trinity. It's a shorter series, but as we were looking at last week, kind of opening, what is the Trinity? And any thoughts occur to anybody? Anything stick out to anyone specifically? I'm just curious if anything touched anyone or specifically that they wanted to mention quickly from last week. Put you guys on the spot. Otherwise, there's this big silence. It's all right. As hopefully you guys, my hope and prayer is that we not be just hearers of the word. My hope and prayer is that as we hear the word, it touches us in a way that causes us to reflect. It causes us to be challenged. It causes us to do things differently in our lives. So just an encouragement, if God is working on your heart in any way, just be ready to share with others what he's doing in your heart, what he's doing in your mind and life. All right, let's open up in prayer. God, bless this time. Speak to us through your word. Father, we pray that we would hear from you this morning. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word, Lord. We pray that truth would change us. Father, I just pray right now, there are so many different false truths, lies coming at us from the world. Things for us to be so focused on and taken up by. Some of them wrong and bad things. Some of them good things that crowd you out when they become too much of the focus. Father, I just pray that in all areas of our lives, we would be willing to say, what does your word say? How do I filter that thought, that attempt to sway me to think a certain way? Lord, let me filter that through the truth of the word of God so that I can take what's real and hold on to it and discard the things that I need to discard. Lord, prepare us as we continue in the series on the Trinity, three persons, one God. Father, prepare our hearts and minds for your truth. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we were looking at the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, not mentioned. The word Trinity is not mentioned in the Word of God. We looked at that last week. We looked at some scriptures about the Trinity. And today I want to go a little bit into why it's so important. Why is it so important to have the right understanding of the Trinity? What is it? What are the things that can come up? And so I want to start with 2 John 9. It says, anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. In John 8, 31, 32, it says, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are truly my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Guys, we want to be about the truth, and we want to hold to his teaching. We want to continue in the teachings of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, of the teachings of the Trinity, of the teachings of one God, three persons. And one of the reasons that this is so important, I just touched on it last week, that there's all these other religions that teach other things. But I wanted to give a little bit more of an example, because I don't know about you, but I know some people who are Islam. I know some people who are Jehovah's Witnesses. I know some people who are Mormons. And I know they're wonderful people. The ones I know, the ones I've become friends with, they're not bad people. They're wonderful people. And I know atheists, and some of my good friends are atheists. And man, I tell you, once again, Julie and I just had dinner with someone that we didn't know here the other day very well at all. It was the first time we'd ever had a real conversation. We may have met him before, but a distant family member who's an atheist, and just a wonderful gentleman who's doing just great things around the world and has a heart for people. And how do we bring love and truth into the lives of the people around us? How do we stand for truth in a way that brings people in and develops relationship rather than makes us sound arrogant and rude? That's kind of what I want to be looking at today. And one of the ways that we do that is we have to be first focused on what? Truth. Truth. Because we can't bring the truth in love if we don't know what the truth is. And if we aren't sure, if we're constantly in a place of not growing in our faith and not sure of and not able to hear the difference between the truth and the lie because we're not familiar enough with the word. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit, God gives us the ability to discern. And certain people have gifts of discernment. But we can all have a discerning heart and mind if we know the word of God, if we spend time in and are growing in it. So a couple of things. I wanted to look at two things today. One is one specific religion, and I just picked one as an example. And another one here is just the idea of cults in general. Cults in general. What is it that cults have? They have a guru, right? They have a head dog, a guy who's been enlightened, a guy who has answers that are often a further revelation from the word of God. That many cults take the word of God and they'll use this as a stepping stone to something better. A stepping stone to what's more and what's further revealed by God to me. And now as your guru, now boy, I tell you, I've got a better way. Nobody else. Not only do you have a leader, but with this leader, the guru, you have this new revelation, this new story. This Jesus, yeah, that was good. But he was a prophet and I'm a prophet too. I'm like Jesus. I'm another prophet come to share the truth. And if we're not careful, we can buy in. I mean, look at Scientology. Look at how many intelligent, successful people have bought in to something quite wild. Thank you. Bondage. A bondage. Why is it bondage? Because if the truth sets us free, what's the opposite? The lie will bind you. If the truth sets us free, the lie will bind us. And we don't want to be bound into false understandings that lead us into further and further bondage to what we do. Another thing that cults have in common is isolation. We've got it right. No one else does. So we need to build the walls higher. And we need to, if people are willing to come in, and buy, then okay. But we need to keep, and we need to, we've got the answers here, guys. We're the first ones throughout all of history who have the answers. Be careful with that kind of teaching. Anybody who's smarter than anyone else in all of history, they're not. They're not. Something else that cults have in common is they're works-oriented. They're dependent on what we do to achieve right standing, to earn it. Works-oriented. Works-oriented. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But in your hearts honor God, honor Christ the Lord as holy." always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, sharing the truth in love. Now, has anybody ever done, I've got to admit, there's times where I've looked forward, as Jehovah's Witnesses have come to my door, there's times where I've enjoyed it and enjoyed those conferences. There's also times where I've locked the door and kind of been outside of the window sight. Anybody ever done that? I don't have time. I've got to leave in 5 minutes. But here it's saying, be prepared all the time to give reason. And it, guys, as Christians, we're wanting to go out, and here's people coming to our doors. And just an encouragement, let's be ready with scripture. Let's be ready with understanding. Let's be ready with ways that we can, as Jehovah's, as we're talking to friends who are Jehovah's Witness, who are Mormons, who Islam, whatever it is, let's be ready to give an answer. Let's be ready to give an answer. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 says, all scripture is God-breathed. How much scripture? All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for what? For every good work. You see, God has called us to do a work in His name, a good work. He's prepared in advance for us to do it. So, you know what? We need to spend less time hiding from the windows and more time going to the doors. Less time in the churches. Safe amongst ourselves. And more time saying, how do we train and equip on Sundays and on the Bible study days? How do we have time in the church to prepare us to do what? To go out into community and live out our faith in a way that encourages people, that challenges people, that lovingly rebukes them, that lovingly shares truth in a way that they can connect with, and rather than slamming them and putting them down for false belief, showing them truth in a way that says, there's something more. There's something greater than what we see here. It's not just about religion, guys. It's about knowing God personally. And you can know Him. You can know Jesus Christ personally. False religions. So I was debating which one to take, and I prayed about it, and I came up with Mormonism. I have a number of friends who are Mormons, and there's been lots of conversations and times where we've shared, and as we look at Mormons, and the reason I do this, guys, the reason I'm looking at this as an example is because I want us to be thinking, how do I reach out the truth and love? How does my understanding of the Trinity make it so that as other options come in, and you guys have experienced it, right? You meet good people who are from other religions, and what do you say? Wow, I want to find out more about them. And then we can have these different teachings come in that can go against the Word of God. And people who are looking to lovingly reach out, yes, I'm called to give the truth and love, but it doesn't mean I have to take in the lies. And so how do we protect ourselves? And I think just taking Mormonism as an example, I wanted to look at a couple things. Who do Mormons say is God? Is it different than what Christians say? Because I don't know about you, but my friends who are Mormon, they'll say, oh, I'm a Christian too. A lot of people who are in the Mormon faith who aren't higher up don't have a great understanding of what they believe, and they think it's just another denomination of Christianity. But it's not. According to the Word of God, at least, it's not. The nature of God, man's fate, and God's strategy for salvation are the things we're going to look at here. So the nature of God, God the Father. We're going to look at God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. God the Father. Mormons teach that God the Father was once a man. God the Father was once a man. And we know that Jesus taught that God is spirit. John 4:24 says, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Just a quick example of a few things here. God's nature as God the Son. Mormons teach that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer. So Jesus and Lucifer are two sons of God. One the good guy and one the bad guy. Right? That both are created beings, equal in nature and essence. Spirit brothers of the same Father. Guys, that is not Christianity. That is not faith in Jesus Christ. We understand, as we went over last week with the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. Not God the Father and his son, brother of Lucifer. Just see how... Now, I have a lot of... I know a lot of Mormons don't even know that part of their teaching. John 1, 1 through 3, which we went over of who is Jesus. But just as a reminder, this is so important. God the Father, God the Son. Here is God the Son. In the beginning was the Word. And remember, Jesus is the pre-incarnate Word of God. He's God himself. And so in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Jesus is not a created being. Jesus is God. He was with the Holy Spirit, the Father. Together, they were in one, three persons, one God, in perfect unity and community within himself. He is both God. Jesus is both God and Creator. Paul writes about Jesus, the Creator, in Colossians 1, 16 and 17. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Man, guys, it makes such a difference to have the right teaching, the right understanding of who Jesus is, of who God the Father is, of who God the Son is, of who God the Holy Spirit is. Three persons, one God. Otherwise, when things come around, we don't know and say, no, that's not truth. And guys, here's. I know in our world it says, we're told over and over, don't be judgmental, unless you're talking about Christians. But don't be judgmental. The world says, don't judge others. Because why? Because judging, it's mean, it's rude, it's... Don't stand up for truth is what that's saying, isn't it? But can I truly be loving if I'm encouraging someone in a lie that leads to eternal separation from God? Just think about that. God has called us to love as Christ has loved us. God made a way. Christ made a way for us to be with him for all of eternity. And we can't love with that same love if we're willing to pat somebody on the rear as they're going by to hell. Oh, I don't want to offend. You know, just go on. Guys, if we love them, we'll be willing to say hard things. Parents, Do we always say the easy thing to our children? Do we always say the things our children want to hear? We love them enough to say what's right. We love them enough to say the hard things. And you know what happens sometimes? Conflict is created. Conflict is created. Why? Because we're willing enough to act on our love. Do we love enough to say what needs to be said? Do we love enough to stand up for truth? And guys, do we love enough to do it in a way that gives people the opportunity to receive it? Or do we say something like, oh, that's stupid. You're a moron. How can you believe something like, guys, instantly I've just made them feel, I've just cut off relationship. See, we got to respect people who don't yet know truth. We need to honor those we are loving and witnessing to. We need to reach out with truth and love. God's nature, the Holy Spirit. Mormons teach that the Holy Spirit is an impersonal force. Oh, look, the force is right? An impersonal force. Sorry. Couldn't help myself. Every time I get a chance to do Darth Vader, I do Darth Vader. It's like every chance I get an opportunity to use the Seahawks as an example, I'll go for it. So, but they see the Holy Spirit as an impersonal force, not God. But the Bible teaches that the Holy Spirit is God, and I could go on and on and on, and for all these areas, so many scriptures, but just to use one, Ephesians 4, 4 through 6, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, the Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all. The Holy Spirit is God. Another thing that we have to be careful with you know, we'll look at the teaching and these ideas that come in about God and who God is. Another thing that we look at with Mormons or with anyone of a different faith or a cult or atheists is man's fate. Man's fate. Because the world says this is all there is. This is all there is. So get what you can here and now, because this is it. So me and mine is all there is. Get what you can. So in other words, treat others as stepping stones to get what you want. Be willing to walk over survival of the fittest, baby. So be the fittest and survive, because this is all there is. As that truth has come into the teaching at the schools, that I tell you, the depression, the suicide has gone off the charts. As the teaching of this is all there is came into the schools, the problems with suicide and depression, the numbers skyrocketed. Just, I mean, you see the graphs, it's unbelievable. Because when you teach young people that this is all there is, there's no point to life, there's no purpose. And when people buy that lie and receive it, of course it's depressing. Because what do you do when all that it is isn't that much? Well, there's nowhere to go with it. What do you do when all there is, which is this life, is not what you planned? Man's fate. You know, man's fate, that this is all there is. That remember, Mormons believe that males can achieve deification and glorification. That the Mormon male can achieve that and can become a god. And that's the goal, is that you can become a god. If you're a male Mormon, you can become deified and glorified. But that's the kind of mindset, that's the kind of teaching that comes from the enemy. Genesis, in Genesis 3, 1 through 6, I'll just read verses 2 through 4. This is Satan talking. You will certainly not die, Satan says. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. You see, Satan declared that man could become a god. That's the teaching of the enemy. That, hey, you want to be God? You can. That's not the teaching from the Word. That's like, I'll never forget, I went to a service and they, wonderful people that we knew that loved Jesus, and the teaching was on the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel shows that man was so arrogant and so full of himself and trying to act like he didn't need God. And I went to this service with people who loved Jesus, and the teaching from this was, they said, see what we can do as believers if we stand together. And my heart just went, ah! Guys, if we don't know the Word of God, different teaching is even into the church. Because I make mistakes all the time. I may make a mistake with the Word of God. I am not infallible. I will make mistakes. I may say things in a way that I may make them, I may actually say something that's wrong. I may also state something that sounds wrong, even when I know it's right, I'm not communicating it well enough to where the truth is being a little confusing. And so you guys need to have the understanding and the training and the comfortable, being comfortable in the Word of God so that you can say, Pastor, question. Did you mean this? Because I would love it if I'm teaching something and there's confusion in it, for that confusion to be taken away. And it's important, if I'm ever teaching anything that's not biblically sound, that it be called out, that we discuss it, that we look at it. Now, there is theology, secondary theology, where we're going to disagree on some things. And that's okay. But on primary, like the Trinity, on primary truths, where there's no mystery whatsoever, we need to have that clear. And state it clearly. So if I ever struggle in that, please let me know. I would appreciate that, because our goal is not for me to feel good about myself No, it's for us to grow together. It's for us to grow together. Isaiah 44, verses 6 and 8 says, this is what the Lord says, Israel's King and Redeemer, the Lord Almighty, I am the first and the last. Apart from me, there is no God. Do not tremble. Do not be afraid. Did I not proclaim this and foretell it long ago? You are witnesses. Is there any God besides me? No, there is no other rock I know, not one. Because we don't get to become gods if we're good enough. Look at your heart. Look at your life. Think of your best day. Godlike? Perfection? Your best day. Perfection? Not me. So, just a couple things is, God's nature, man's fate, and then salvation strategy. Salvation strategy. Mormons teach that its salvation is through Jesus, his teaching, he's one of the prophets, and all religions apart from Christianity, true faith in Jesus Christ, teach something else, and those that use the Word of God as part of their teaching, whether cults, you know, or officially false religions, other religions, they all, if there's any usage of the Word of God as part of the teaching of another religion, it will be Jesus and. And there are Christians, or let me put it this way. There are churches claiming to be Christians that teach Jesus and. Jesus and baptism by water. You can, I remember going to Billy Graham crusades, going to different things, going to Christian concerts, and there would be the people outside that would be in the stands saying, have you been baptized with water? If not, you're not saved. Now, the baptism with water is to do in obedience, which shows of what's already happened, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Is it an act of obedience to be baptized with water? Absolutely. Is it important? Yes. It's one of the ways we honor God, and we state, we proclaim to those around us, to friends and family, I've been transformed. I'm different. I was spiritually dead. Now I'm spiritually alive. I want to show you. I want to speak who God is in my life. And I want to witness. I want to proclaim the gospel. And I'm going to do it by example. And I'm going to be baptized with water because it shows what's happened to me. And now when we do that, we have the support now of friends and family, and people know where we stand. But water baptism is not necessary for salvation. But it's an act of obedience to God. We had one woman here who was who was terrified of water. And the idea of being submerged underwater was a greater fear than death. Now, we practice here baptism, submersion by water, right? But with her, guess what I did? I sprinkled it on her forehead. Because she wanted to honor God. But the act isn't greater than what it stands for. The act isn't greater than God himself. Right? So the law is not what we worship. The law leads us to Christ. Dip. And you only need to dip once. Jesus doesn't need to keep going up on the cross, right? Amen. So Mormons teach salvation is Jesus and John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall have eternal life. As long as they get baptized with water? No. As long as they get this right? No. Whoever receives Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior and follows him will be saved. And it's not that, man. Guys, you know what that means? That means all are able. All are able. All right. This is the third week in a row I haven't got to the Ephesians 1 through 14. But we're going to go one more week, and I'll get there. Guys, I hope what you take from this is not that I'm picking on Mormons. I could have used any religion as an example. What I wanted to do was show how here's something that a lot of us know, people who are wonderful people, wonderful Mormon people. But if we really love them, we're going to have real conversations with them. We're going to bring truth into their life. Let's be willing to be friends with people of all different faiths. Let's be willing to be friends with people who are atheists. Let's be willing to reach out as Christ did. We can't be more holy than Jesus. And if we try and be holy by caving, that's a cult mentality. We're not called to act like cults. We're called to be free. To be free in Christ. And why are we free? Because we have the truth which sets us free. So let's share that freedom with others. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that, Lord, that this message would be received in an encouraging way. Lord, I pray that, I pray for each one here, Lord, that, Father, if there's anybody here who's only has friends who are Christians, we ask for forgiveness of sin. We are not called to isolate amongst ourselves. Father, give us a heart for the people around us. And Lord, I know the people here. And I know they love deeply and well.
And they reach out. Lord, I thank you for the way this family lives out the message that we've been talking about, lives out truth. But Lord, we desire to grow in that. So give us a hunger for your word so that when lies come both to us and those around us, we can lovingly bring in truth. And the joy and the freedom that comes through that will be blessed and given to others. Lord, I pray that our fears of not being liked or received, of being mocked, Lord, I pray that our fears would not be greater than our love. Because, God, we're called to, the only one we're called to fear is you. And Lord, and that's not fear because of, that's in reverence. That's in an understanding of who you are compared to who we are. And that there's a holy understanding of the difference and our need and dependence on you. And that you are just and you do not play with sin. You do not wink at sin. You sent your son, Jesus Christ, to die in our place so that we could be with you. So, Father, we choose you. And, Lord, once again, if there's anyone here who doesn't know you personally, I'm not talking about you, but know you and known by you intimately, personally, Lord, I pray that you would reveal yourself to them, that they would ask for forgiveness of their sins and receive you, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. Father, for all of us who already know you, Lord, thank you that you're not done with us yet. The end of the road is not justification. The end of the road is not salvation. That's just partway through the journey. But sanctification, growing in you, maturing in you, seeing you work in ways in our lives that we had no idea was possible. Experiencing more and more freedom, more and more joy, more and more peace, even when the world around us is going crazy. Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. Make us a blessing to many. May you be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, guys.